Last time on Dubious Intent Plus.
You know, I probably will look at buying a house next year.
Yeah, I don't know.
Oh, my. I thought I muted myself. I apologize for that burp.
Yeah, what was that?
I don't know. That was Diet Coke. No, you know what it was? I should just put this on the Trello, but I won't. I was trying a cooking experiment tonight, and it failed. And now the entire house reeks of failure. From the Palatial Pride 48 Studios, high atop the universe, it's time for TI Plus to come screaming at you through the interwebs. Good afternoon, good morning, good evening, whatever the time of day it is where you are, I'm glad you've joined us today. TI Plus is brought to you by President's Day. I know it's next weekend, but you know, apparently the presidents like to sleep a lot, which is why they have betting sales all the time, and so I figured we'd just start our President's Day celebration a little bit earlier. You got a problem with that? Screw you. Check them out at their website at presidentsday.com, and don't forget to use the special listener checkout code DIPLUS for a pardoned discount. Welcome to DI Plus. I am Daniel Brewer, and I am joined by the President Day Free State of Arkansas. By the one and only Mr. Adam Burns. Hello, Adam.
Hey, Daniel. How's it going?
Hey, I'm doing great. Thanks for asking.
Congratulations.
Yes. Congratulations on what?
Well, I see that you've done some tidying of your new apartment. Previously, on DI Plus,
yes.
There were stacks of boxes behind you.
Yes.
Now I just see a lamp. And it looks like a box spring.
No, it's not. Those are the foam mattresses of which I was previously sleeping on.
Oh.
They're just leaning up against. And the vacuum cleaner is out because I was vacuuming. I was either trying to clean the floors tonight or scaring the cats on purpose. I'm not sure which, but I did accomplish both. So it's a multitasking device, which to rid yourself of cats from the room and also to remove, detritus from the floor. Adam, how are you doing this week?
I'm good. I'm a little bit busy, but I think that's just a usual state for me. But, I started the rehearsals for Legally Blonde, and so that's been going on for the past couple of days. But I'm good. I'm really good. Do we have any weather we can talk about?
We do. So, also, I'm being called out on the fact that I mispronounced detritus. Sorry. I don't know why I said detritus.
Well, yeah.
Thank you.
I try not to. You also said good afternoon, good morning, good evening.
That's technically correct. It was just, no one cares about any of this. You know, hi, Adam. You know, anyone that might be listening to this podcast for the very first time has already bailed. They've bailed at this point in time. They're just like, what the fuck is this? Why are these people?
No.
They just yell at each other. It's weird. I don't even, he reads words out of order and everything. And he says, and I don't know. It's just crazy.
Well, how we normally start the show.
Yeah, how do we normally start the show?
We say it's, we're about 10 minutes later than usual, but we say it's 8:25 or 9, sorry. We go by Eastern time around here. It's 9:25 in the evening on a Sunday, which can mean only one thing. The Dubious Intent is streaming live on pride48.com, and we have a wonderful chat room. Daniel, would you like to read us who's in the chat room tonight?
I would love to, Adam. You know, we are joined this evening by Crone. We are joined by Haunt Cub. We are joined by Mib, who has not yet changed his name, so we don't know. He's a mystery listener that is in the chat room. We are joined by Mr. Mike 1972 from Squamish, BC. We're joined from Tim in Alaska. We're joined by Toppy Smelly. And I believe Nico, friend of the show Nico, is popping around somewhere in the chat room also.
Well, welcome, welcome, one and all.
Indeed.
To the chat room. So, quickly, we have talked a lot about this whole trip for Valentine's Day.
We have?
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. I wasn't listening to you. Right. I understand.
And I even asked, you know, your opinion in the chat room and Joey Buhecker. Well, I didn't actually ask Joey Buhecker, but he just, when he heard the show, he texted me immediately. And what I said was, you know, Legally Blonde, which is a musical that I'm playing trumpet in. Anyway, I'm like, the opening weekend of that is Valentine's Day weekend, and Mark and I were going to go on a trip. And so I asked you your opinion, you know, should I just skip playing Legally Blonde and go on this trip because Mark says he doesn't care. So Joey Buhecker says, no, you should play Legally Blonde. And Daniel Brewer says, no, you should say you can't play Legally Blonde and you should go on the trip because it's Valentine's Day.
I never said it was Valentine's Day. I just said,
well, because you've made plans. So I did that. We talked about last week how she still needed me for three of the dates to cover for the other guy. So I'm doing all the rehearsals and everything. But now that I've gotten my schedule cleared, we can't decide where to go. So it's like we don't want to take any time off work because we're going to go on a bigger trip later.
Yeah.
And he's works really busy for him right now. So we want to go on a really short trip, but there aren't very many good places to go that are within driving distance that we haven't already been.
But all right, so does it have to be someplace that you've never been? Like what I used to do from time to time when I just needed to get the fuck away is go to a hotel. You didn't even have to go out of town. Just go to a nice luxury hotel and check in for the weekend. And you know, like a hotel that has spa treatment. Certainly for the Walmart executives, there must be a luxury hotel somewhere near you that you could go to, like a Marriott or something that has, you know, spa.
We have an A-Loft. I think those are nice. That's by the
just for God's sakes, make sure they have slippers because correct. it will upset Mittens if they don't have slippers in the hotel. But no, go to a nice hotel. Just check into a nice hotel. You know, a place that you can order room service. You can bring with you, you know, stuff to watch Netflix or whatever. You can watch movies and, you know, just kind of like hang out in the room and then, you know, go down and get the little spa treatment or whatever. Go. It's probably too cold to hang out by the pool, but, you know, just do something low key, just like, you know.
Yeah. And, you know, and it seems like a way. And that is an option. We also have Kansas City as an option. We could drive to Memphis, Tennessee.
I hear that everything is up to date in Kansas City.
Yeah. They have gigabit Ethernet or gigabit.
You know what else? Well, no, I don't think John Ong is in Kansas City.
He is.
In that Kansas City? There's like 16 different Kansas cities.
No, he is in Kansas City, Missouri is where he lives.
Kansas City, Missouri. Well, then go visit John Ong.
Yeah, for Valentine's Day. Hey, Mark, let's go visit John Ong.
Yes. You know, I think that's an amazing idea.
John Ong and his partner.
And you know what? Valentine's Day is just that evening, whatever. You know, you can go and visit him.
So, I don't know. If anyone has any suggestions that are near Northwest Arkansas, we even looked at flying places, but the cheapest ticket that we can get for anywhere is $400 or $500 a piece. And it seems like a waste to spend $800 to $1,000 on a ticket to basically go somewhere for a day. I would really love to go somewhere warm because I'm sick of it being cold, but especially the warm places are expensive. I mean, for plane tickets. So, and there, St. Louis is another option, but it's about a 6-hour drive away. And I'll tell you in my next topic why St. Louis is an option.
Well, how far is Dallas?
Dallas is about 5.5 hours, 6. I drive fairly slow. I'm not a big speeder and I stop to pee a lot.
It's warm in Dallas.
About 6 hours. That is another option. I don't know if I was even looking. I was like, okay, what places close to us might have some show that we could watch on Saturday? And The Lion King is playing in Memphis, but all the tickets were sold out on Ticketmaster, at least. So, and then everything else near me is some country spectacular. There is the only thing is Lion King or like old Roy Jones and, you know, something, you know, playing at some casino around here. So there aren't even any shows really of note.
How far away is Arkadelphia from you?
Really?
I'm just asking, how far away is it?
Arkadelphia is where I went to school.
No, it's just how, you know, far away from you is
it's
it?
It's probably 4 or 5 hours. I'm not
really
sure exactly.
Is that far?
Driving, yeah.
Oh, never mind then. I'm checking on the Amtrak thing to see like what a train to go. But apparently there's no trains anywhere near. The only train thing in Arkansas apparently is in Arkadelphia.
Yeah, I thought about that too because I love riding on trains. Mark, I mentioned that to him and he said, yeah, we've ridden a train before. Basically saying that was boring. I don't want to do that again. So
you don't have to drive a train for the thing, but the train is a nice way to get to where you want to go, and then not have to. So if you take an overnight trip on the train, because trains run, you know, late at night, right? So you could and then you're in Dallas early in the morning. You go and you check into a hotel. It's nice and warm. You could lay out by the pool and then take the train back home. That's all I'm trying to say. Anyway.
We could take a Greyhound bus to Arkadelphia
and write a country song about your experience.
Then get on. So I don't know what to do. We're doing something. In fact, my mom says, oh, you're going. You told me you were going out of town. Wait, next weekend. Where are you going? And I'm like, I don't know. I mean, I've already told her I'm going out of town, but I don't know where it is. Seems kind of ridiculous. We're going somewhere.
Somewhere over the rainbow.
But I have no idea where. Maybe St. Louis. We'll talk about that in a second.
Oh. Let's see. We have over the death phone. Yes. Hello. Hello. Adam, I think there's something wrong with the death phone.
We don't have any death phone calls.
That's what I'm saying. I think there is certainly someone. Are we to believe that this has been the most miraculous week in the history of humankind, that not a single celebrity or pseudo-celebrity has died in this past week?
I'm going to tell the chat room. It was getting to that point in my topic where you were like, I'm bored of listening to this. How can I interrupt it? And you were like, let me just play it. Oh, there are no death phone calls. I can't.
I already know. I'm just saying this is amazing. Anyway. This is absolutely amazing. Let's, you know, celebrate. So we celebrate the first death-free week on DI Plus in a very, very, very long time. So that's absolutely...
You know, maybe RT Cruiser died.
It could very well be.
Because we can always depend on him to call the death phone, and he's not in the chat room, and no calls from him this week.
That's amazing.
Can someone check on RT Cruiser and make sure he's alive?
I'm glad that you asked what I'm doing for Valentine's Day weekend, Adam.
What are you doing for Valentine's Day weekend?
Why, thank you for asking. You know, I will be...
Why would I ask you that? You're single.
So, am I required to kill myself on that day or something? So,
no, but I mean, I wouldn't expect you to have. This is what I would think a single Daniel Brewer would do on Valentine's Day weekend.
I'm waiting. This is going to be
buy
great.
A couple great. Of cases of your favorite beer, or whatever liquor that you want. You know, make some recipe, maybe your famous strawberry shortcake or whatever that was you were saying you make for people, and sit in front of your computer playing World of Warcraft.
Wow.
Or you might take a trip to New York to see some Valentine's parade that they're having there or something.
Right, yeah, the world-famous New York City Valentine's Day parade. That's absolutely amazing. No, you know what I'm going to do, Adam, is I'm going to sleep on my new bed.
Oh.
And there's no class.
All weekend?
No, I'm just it was just a crappy way for me to bring up the fact that, here's the thing. So I got a new bed because it's President's Day. I don't know what the connection is between President's Day and bedding sales, but if you go over to Lifehacker, there's an article you can search for it over on Lifehacker. It's like the best time of years to buy things, right? So it's like we just passed the best time of year to buy a new TV. So if you want to buy a new TV, the best time of year for you to buy a new TV is Super Bowl weekend, is that a few days before.
Oh, I thought it'd be Black Friday.
No, that's the second best day to buy a TV. But what happens is the new models are coming out for the new year, and so they're closing out, and of course they use it as an excuse for you to upgrade your TV to watch the Super Bowl on, right? So they have big, huge TV sales on Super Bowl weekend. So we just passed the place, just passed the big, huge Super Bowl thing. But for some unknown reason, President's Day is the best day of the year, or the best occasion of the year to buy a new bed, mattress and box springs, because they're marked down everywhere. In fact, there's no sales deeper than that the entire rest of the year. I don't know what the correlation is. I'm glad that it happened, though, right now, because I've been sleeping on the floor, as you know. Actually,
I was gonna say
stacked behind me here. Yeah, or the two foam mattresses that I've been sleeping on the floor.
2 weeks of living on your own as a single man, and you've already broken your bed, so you had to go out and replace it. But that didn't.
Three weeks. Okay. So I bought a bed. They delivered it today. Because apparently, thanks to the internet, President's Day starts earlier and earlier every year. So I was at my desk on Thursday at work, and I saw, you know, one of the mattress places had their our President's Day sale starts now. And so I went over and I got myself a bed, got it delivered. They showed up today, and I had no cash. So I felt bad. I couldn't tip these people that set up my bed. But then the more I thought about it, it took them 7 minutes to do this, right? It's like the truck was outside. They ran it up the stairs. The one guy put together the frame on the floor, right? Which I didn't ask him to do. He just sat down and started doing it. I would have put everything together myself. I was fine, right? All it is a king size bed, right? So it's a frame, two single size box springs, box springs, and then a mattress. That's it. That's all it is.
I just want to say, if you are not tipping your guys who lifted that heavy bed and brought it in,
box
then
springs
why
weigh
should
nothing.
I tip someone at the Chili's who hands me the bag of food. It takes them all 30 seconds.
You know, we got an email about the tipping.
Yeah, it's in the contact section.
Yeah. But I'm just saying, I felt bad. I had no money on me. I had no cash on me. And so I was sitting there thinking, by the time that I had thought through what I could possibly do to tip them, they were done.
Baking
they were
some cookies.
They were done and gone. Like, I mean, they were done and gone. Like, eh, thank you. And they left. Because it's President's Day weekend, right? They're like, they're very busy. They're very busy people. They were setting up like lots of
If it were me, I would have said, I'm so sorry, guys. I completely forgot to get cash. And I would apologize profusely because I do that. Or like, I will avoid, like, I never will let the bellman take my luggage up to my room because I don't want to tip them. So I try to avoid those shuttle services at the airport because you're expected to tip those. I mean, they expect a tip too.
Wow.
So, yeah.
You're,
but it's because I never have cash. It's like I literally would have to go to an ATM just to get money out so that I could then let the bellman take my luggage up to the thing.
So, you know what? If you are, here you go, ladies and gentlemen. If you are a delivery person or if you are, you know, one of these people, a mover or a furniture installer or anything like that, get Square. Just get the little Square dongle. I would have tipped. I would have thrown $5 there with the Square thing.
What? When you're coming in through the door, say, oh, by the way, if you don't have cash and you want to tip us, I have Square.
Yes.
Yeah.
Or just, you know, have the little Square dongle in your phone and then set the phone down on the floor as you're putting the thing together. So it's in full view of, look, there's the phone and there's a little Square dongle. Because then someone like me would go, oh, do you take Square? Because thank God I have no cash on me. Oh, I'd be happy to tip you, you know, like $5 for doing 7 minutes worth of work.
Is that Square in your pocket?
Or are you just happy to see me? So now I now have a bed. I have already tested it. Not in that way. Get your mind out of the gutter.
I did not say anything.
I had to get up early because they were delivering it. Well, I have to get up early every morning because the cats wake me up. So cats woke me up this morning. I didn't go back to bed immediately because I was waiting for the bed delivery. And thankfully, they came right at the beginning of the window, right? The window was like from 8:30 until 12:30. And they called at 8:15 and they were like, oh, we will be there in 15 minutes. So they were here just shortly after 8:30. And so they got to bed and then I just, I put the sheets on it and got it all set.
Laid back down.
Got it all set and I crawled into the bed and had a nice little nip a nap for the, you know, for the morning because I wasn't done sleeping yet. So I've already tested out.
And then you went to the Von's East and...
I didn't go to the Von's East. I went to the Stop and Shop, but that's an entirely different story altogether. Anyway, so there you go.
$35.12, but you saved $43.27.
It is, you know, he is the most fascinating man in the universe. For that, I realize part of my scruff profile makes a call out to this show, right? My scruff profile basically says...
To DI Plus?
Yeah, it basically says, oh, I do a show called Dubious Intent if you want to hear me. And so
I did that once on like Grindr or something, and they banned my profile because I wasn't supposed to be advertising anything.
Well, I guess they're much more
Grindr will ban you for the drop of a hat
This isn't Grindr. This is Scruff. Anyway, the point is I put it on, and somebody messaged me the other day and was like, oh, what is your show about? And I was like, oh, it's nothing. And well, I'll listen to it and tell you what I think. And then I never heard back from them. And so when I was listening back to the show this week, it dawned on me if a first time person listened to it, because we regularly make call outs to all these other podcasters that they would have no idea who they are. You know, we would talk about Big Fatty and they would have no idea who the hell Big Fatty was and everything.
I think lots of podcasters do that though.
No, and I agree. I just don't know whether we do the whole Mike Lawson thing where we just explain it every time, right? Where we, for those of you who don't know, Big Fatty is a man that lives in South Carolina that burps into a microphone for 20 minutes every day, right? If we have to explain it that way, or whether your camera is so jerky right now, it looks like I'm talking to someone in the space shuttle. You know what I'm saying? Like how you get that like kind of choppy video from the space shuttle, you know, with the astronaut kind of floating around there. That was a total aside. But what I'm trying to say, Adam, is I was distracted by something very shiny. What I'm trying to say is that I don't know whether we need to talk about this. Not that you never talk to me other than this time right now. So at some other time, we need to have a show meeting where we can talk about these very important things.
I figure it gives us content. And you're always saying I don't talk to you. But remember when we first started this relationship and I used to complain because you never would talk to me on the phone. And then you said, Adam, I don't like to talk on the phone.
I don't, but I love talking on video because I don't have to hold a fucking thing up to my head. I'll do a video conference with you anytime.
But I am a busy person. So I thought texting would do. And I tried to text you this week and you're like, I'm in a meeting.
So, well, I couldn't help that I was in a meeting, and that was like the one time that I was in a fucking meeting.
I figure I did my part, and I tried to. I can't come in here and sit in front of this camera for hours at a time. I have a boyfriend who is jealous of my time.
All right, let's get over to the chat room here. The chat room, who has been listening along here, who likes to say a lot of things. By the way, we've already bored several of them. They've already left. Toppy Smelly, Haunt Cup.
No, you know why it is? Because evidently Pride 48's demographic is old men. They all go to bed by like 8 o'clock.
Well, in Toppy's defense, we got another snowstorm hitting us this weekend. And so he's anticipating that he's going to have to get up early tomorrow and dig his car out.
Again, an old man thing. I have to get extra sleep so I can.
All right, let me just finish here. So Tim in Alaska says that what I should have said was, I apologize for not having cash to tip you. Can I offer you a blowjob in lieu of cash? No. I'm not going to disparage anyone because it takes all type. But those two guys that were here were not my type.
Well, that, and you don't want to kind of promote that gay stereotype that we try to hit on anyone.
We only hit on people that we find hot. Anyway, let's just like gay, straight men, right? Hey, look at you over there. Let's see, Mr. Mike, 1972. Mr. Mike has Square. So if you're in Vegas this year at Pride 48 and Mr. Mike is running your audio and you would like to tip him, just keep in mind he has Square. You don't have to tip him cash. You can run your credit card through his slot. And then Tim in Alaska says, interesting, they let you drop your panties, but not your hat. And I'm assuming he's talking about Grindr there. No, they don't let you drop your panties on Grindr, Tim in Alaska.
They do not.
Any kind of hint of
any
penis.
Hint
of penis
a
there.
Pubic hair, anything.
Right.
They will ban you in a minute.
Right. And Crone, of course, has discovered our secret by saying that each mention of Big Fatty is something listeners get to hear twice, which is correct.
I mean, I don't have Grindr anymore, but they blocked me more than once. And I have had plenty of fights with Grindr.
I'm sorry. You don't have Grindr anymore.
No, I don't. Then, I do not.
Then who is this that I have favorited here in my Grindr?
Well, no. See, nowadays you create an account. I didn't delete my account, but I don't have the app on any of my devices.
I'm saying I have you favorited here in the account. I have Marcus favorited. Basically, when I was at Pride 48, I favorited people there just so that I could like.
So that you could see when they're on. So you could stalk
them. No, so like 6 months from now, I can be like, hey, how are you? And then they'd be like, hey, what the fuck? Anyway,
No, I don't. It's not on my device, but you do have. Now you have an account. So when you log back in, if you download the app again, you can just put in your username and password and they just have all your information. So they save that somewhere in their servers. So I'm going to talk about something.
Wait, before you talk about something, I need to get this off my chest really quick. It's not on the Trello, but I do need to say the girls from Ink Blind and Confused, so Kim and Melissa, came to New York City to see Hedwig and the Angry Inch with John Cameron Mitchell this past weekend. They were only in town for the play. So they only came in town for the play. They had a meet and greet on Saturday. That they had announced, and I'm happy to say I ran into the city just to do a meet and greet with them, which, by the way, if you saw that they said it was at the Hyatt Times Square, it wasn't. It was at the Hilton Times Square. She never corrected the Facebook page. So if you went to the Hyatt Times Square, I'm sorry, you missed the meet and greet. It was at the Hilton Times Square. But yeah, I went to the Hilton Times Square. So I hung out with Melissa and Kim for several hours on Saturday. We had a lot of fun. We went all across New York. We went to 30 Rock. We went to The Counter, which I know. But it's still good. So we went to the counter. We went to 30 Rock. We went to the Uniqlo store, which is a place that I was looking for a jacket in that they went to. And then we went to Junior's Cheesecake for them to have a delicious piece of cheesecake before they went back to their hotel to get ready for the play. And I went back to Connecticut. Anyway, it was great seeing them. It was fun. And I had a great time. So remember, if you're going to be in the New York City area for any reason, you should, let me know. Because I'm one of those people. I'll just pop in there and, I'm a very lonely man. I'll pop in. I'll go have a drink with anyone. So if you're in New York City, for some occasion, and I'm not going to mention any names, Moose, but, if you come to New York City and...
he'll take you to that hamburger place that he likes.
You know what? The counter,
is that the one?
Yes. But the stupid thing is I had picked another hamburger place for us to go to, but it was Saturday and they weren't open for lunch on Saturdays. So we went over to the Big Iron Burger, which was the other burger place, which was the local place, and they weren't open. And then we went to the counter. So there you go. No, is Uniqlo. Crone, it says the Uniqlo. No, it's Uniqlo. It's a Japanese coat company that does like a tubes of down. And it's a very lightweight down jacket that... Anyway, doesn't matter. So I just wanted to say that it was fun. Now you go ahead, Adam, and talk about your hair system.
Thank you. So we may go to St. Louis.
By the way, friend of the show, Gooch Charles, says that I do segues better than anyone. So I just wanted to throw that out.
So we may, like I said, we may go to St. Louis. And one of the, and this is, I don't know, this is a sensitive subject, but I wanted to bring it up because you know what? I share my entire life with everyone. You know, I don't hide things. You and I use our real names.
But you don't hide things other than the fact that you say you're not on Grindr when you clearly you are. But.
I don't have the app. That's all I can say.
Okay.
But, as a lot of people know, I, am balding in the back. Let's say, I would say thinning, but I think it's gotten further than that at this point.
Yes.
I think it's gone further than thin, although I never look at it. So, I mean, I wouldn't know because, you know, if
so you're, so you're going to talk about this new stem cell thing that they have where they actually, they've gotten stem cells to grow human hair. Did you see that the other day?
No, I did not see that. Oh. Maybe I could get in the what's it called? The trial for that. Mm-hmm. But no, I didn't see that. So I had my second boyfriend in my life.
Was this the British one?
No, he was an older guy. Well, he was at the time I met him. He was my age. That's funny. So he was 36 when I met him, but I was 18 or 19. So anyway, he was my first, I think, real boyfriend. But it looks like a little tadpole.
I know it does, doesn't it? I'm sorry. I was distracting him by posting the article about human stem cells growing human hairs. I've now posted it in the chat room. But if you just go to Google News and search for stem cell human hair, you'll find
it. So anyway, I don't like the fact, but my hair has been thin in the back since I can't remember a time that it wasn't, but probably since I was 17 or 18, it started happening. And it is a source of lack of confidence. It's another one of those things that really, you know, but kind of bothers me. Like I'll do stupid things. Like if I get on an elevator, I want to get at the back of the elevator and not the front of the elevator because I don't want people staring at the back of my head.
Okay.
Or if, I don't know, if I'm in a group of people, I prefer to walk side by side or behind people rather than in front of them, unless I'm wearing my hat, you know. And I wouldn't say the main reason I wear my hat is because of that. I've literally worn this baseball cap since I was 15 or 16, not the same one, but I mean, I've been wearing baseball caps. But it does conveniently hide the fact that, you know, I'm going bald in the back.
Have you thought about Judaism?
And people have asked me that too. And then there are those people that, because I'm gonna wear is it a yarmulke?
It is a yarmulke. Yes. Say? Yes.
Yeah, I'm gonna wear that one of those for the rest of my life. So, and people like we'll say Donna Sugars have said, oh, just shave your head. But what people don't realize is, if you have a full head of hair and then you say to someone, oh, just shave it, you know that's not really a solution. And then even Nico in the chat room says, isn't the standard action to shave your head bald? Mm-hmm. Well, it shouldn't be. I mean, it shouldn't have to be. I don't want to be bald. I mean, you know, I mean, I like hair. Ironically, you know, I have hair all over my body and not the one place that I'd like to have it. But so all this to say, it's a very sensitive subject for me. But my first boyfriend had a really convincing you could say toupee if you wanted to say that. They call it a hair system. Whatever. So I've thought about this for years. I mean, literally, when I was with him, I got a consultation. And this was back when I was like 21, 22, because I was already thin back there. And so...
there you go again. I was thin when I was 21.
No, I'm saying I wasn't even thinning back then. So it's just, you know, progressed. So I'm considering, because I didn't really have the money to do it at that time, but I'm considering, and I don't really like the idea of surgery. So yeah, I could go get that thing where they poke hair into your scalp and it's your hair and, you know, whatever. And that technology has gotten a lot better, although I don't know that it's completely foolproof. I mean, first of all, when you first get the surgery, you look like you have little plugs in your head. So it's very obvious to everyone. You know, and then all of a sudden your hair starts growing, and I think it looks fairly natural now, but still, it's painful.
So you're thinking about doing hair club for men or something like similar to that?
It's like that, but they're expensive. That's the only problem. They have ones that basically it's clear. The thing that the hair goes into is clear. It's real human hair, and you have to go there every month. And they like have to fix your hair, you know, and make sure the color matches and all that kind of stuff. So it's convincing. There, you've my ex, you would never have known that he had that, and his whole top of his head was fake. I mean, the hair.
Right.
So and what I would do is they do it with surgical glue, so you don't even take it off. They take it off there. They clean it and do all that. They style your hair. They put it back on. You never take it off. Like, you can swim with it, shower with it, all that kind of stuff. But I'm still a little, it's like, so I walk back into work one day, you know, and all of a sudden I've got hair. You know, it's very obvious to people what I've done. It's not something you can gradually do.
No.
I think it'll look natural because, you know, all the people I've seen.
But if it was something that you gradually did, if it was something that, like, you know, it's kind of a hair replacement thing that you gradually did, they would know that you were doing something then, too. I mean, it's like,
that's true.
Why does it matter? It's like, you know what? People lose weight and gain weight. People, grow their hair and cut their hair. It's like, what does it matter? It's one of those things. No one expects your hair to remain the same all the time. No one expects your weight to remain the same all the time. No one expects your skin color to remain all the same all the time. Oh, you must have gone to the beach this weekend. You look tan. It's,
you know, and then there are those people that make fun of people that have a toupee, you know, or whatever you call it.
But they're not going to make fun of it to your face.
Some people have cheap ones.
They're not going to make fun of it.
You know, look fake.
They will not make fun of you to your face.
Right. So I don't know. I'm still wishy-washy on it, but I might get a consultation on Saturday because just to kind of see what they'd recommend. And it would be in the back. I would leave everything in the front. So, I mean, I don't have a lot of hair in the front, but that I just have a high forehead. That's always been the way it's been. But it wouldn't be, the more noticeable ones are the ones that are all the way into the front because then you see the hairline. But the way I fix my hair anyway, it wouldn't
matter. All right, let me ask you this, Adam.
But it would be the back only.
Let me ask you this.
Okay.
And I'm going to preface this by saying if there was some way that I could go get a procedure to suddenly lose, you know, 50 pounds, right? That was, yeah, you know, like, was not invasive, like not liposuction or whatever. If there was something that I could do to go and get that and it cost $1,000 or whatever, I'd pay the $1,000. And I didn't care if somebody like said, oh my God, you were 50 pounds heavier yesterday. I don't care because I would feel better about myself. Right.
That's true.
Is it something that you think will give you more confidence that will make you feel better about yourself?
I think so. Yeah.
Okay. Then stop right there. Then what the fuck is the reason? What is the point in having money if you can't do things that make you feel better about yourself?
It's true. I mean, the only scary thing is they have to shave that part to put the thing on there.
Yeah.
So there's no turning back. I mean, if you
no turning back? Your hair will grow back.
Well, yeah, but then you have to go around with the shaved.
No, you don't.
Like
you convert to Judaism for a month while the hair grows back in, and then later you go, ah, oy vey, I give up on this fucking religion.
Yeah. So I'm thinking about doing it, and I'm sorry. I'm sorry, you people
okay,
that
okay.
want me to shave.
No. And I just want to say this about the chat room, right? Because the chat room is saying things, and they are being supportive. They're trying to tell you. It's like, you know what? Some of the hottest men are bald. But part of that is confidence, says Nico. Bald is sexy too, says Crone. Adam, have you ever shaved your head? Ask Mr. Mike. Let's see. Daniel, I can just about guarantee you a 50-pound weight loss. Next year, I'll bring you back a bottle of local water from Cambodia. Yeah, exactly. All right. But my point is, what was my point? My point, it doesn't matter. I don't even know what my point was. All I was going to say to the people in the chat room is, like, it doesn't matter, right? If you struggle with your weight, it doesn't matter how many people tell you, you know what? People like big guys. A lot of people like big
right.
guys. There's a whole thing. You know, if you don't feel good about yourself, it doesn't matter how many people out there like big guys or whatever. You're never really going to be happy with that. So the point is if it's going to make you feel better about you, then I say do it. If it's just to make other people feel better about you, then
no.
fuck that.
Nobody cares except for me. I mean, nobody looks at me and goes, Adam would do something about his.
Then you need to not worry about what people at work will say. And
yeah.
just be fucking honest. You know what? I'll let you in. It's not even a secret. I go look at the pictures from Pride 48, right? The first year of Pride 48, I got all kind of gray at the bottom of my beard. The next year, suddenly it's gone. It's magically gone, right? It's like, but I tell people at work all the time. It's like, you know, I color my beard. Yeah, of course I color my beard. It's like, because it's stupid.
Right.
Right. If my beard was the opposite way, if my beard was the inverse where it was gray along the sideburns, but still dark in the center, like a normal beard, then I wouldn't color it. But it's the exact opposite. It's like just the chin part is really gray and the other part is mainly dark. So it's just kind of like it looks like I just have mutton chops without dyeing it. So it's really just more right. of a balance on the face kind of a thing that I like. So it's like, but I never hide it from people. I never like pretend like, oh, no, this is my natural beard color, whatever. I tell people all the time that I color my beard. I have no shame about that because it's just a balance thing.
Some of you have not seen me without my hat, so you wouldn't know. But there is some chance that if you come to Pride 48 this year, I might magically have hair in the back that I didn't have before. So,
well, since you spent at least a portion of that first show, the first year in Vegas, talking about my gray teeth, we can rest assured I will absolutely point out your toupee to everyone in Vegas.
Call it a toupee. It's a hair system.
A hair replacement system.
Toupee is such an old word, right?
Eric got me a toupee like the sugar diabetes. All right.
The technology today is so much better than back in the day.
All right. I teased last week that I was going to talk about some stuff. And of course, I didn't write anything down this week and I didn't like prepare anything. And I am prepared to speak extemporaneously about some of this stuff.
Go ahead, because I'm not going to talk about that other topic of mine.
I thought you did. I thought you already talked about
kind of. All those but things. No, I'm just saying that I don't.
But
have
before I potentially upset some people, I want to
turn off your radio this time. I mean your pod, your whatever it's called.
I know. Before I upset some people, I wanted to talk about this first. There's a thing. There they go. That's exciting. I'm gonna see if I can find where you find this. Let's see.
I'm seeing how far I can lean back in my chair and still get the mic to my face.
Why? Is I guess my question.
Because it's more comfortable leaning back. And I just thought, I'm going to lean back here.
Yeah, like you're watching MSNBC or something. You're going to lean back there. Let me get to news.google.com. Let's see. Google review. I read this article the other day. I wish I would have bookmarked it. But I read this thing the other day and I wanted to, there it goes. And I wanted to... Because I thought of a bunch of people in the Pride 48 community. And I was like, oh, if they don't know about this, then they probably should check this out. And I'm speaking specifically of people like a friend of the show, Nico Martinez, friend of the show, Joe Batants, friend of the show, Gene Bond, people who like to write, people that are bloggy kind of people that like to post blogs and things like that. Google Maps and Google has a thing called local, right? And like if you've ever looked up a restaurant on Google Maps, like typed in like Mexican restaurants in Google Map, and then you'll see reviews, and there's some reviews there of people that are linked to their Google Plus accounts. You can actually sign up on Google to be what is known as a local guide. And you will get certain things. So basically all they're asking you to do is just to review the places that you go, like to do, you know, basically go to a restaurant, write a one paragraph review about it, write like some nice high quality reviews about it. And then there's different perks that you get, for each level that you do it. So if you just sign up to be a local guide on Google, you will get, level one, without even having written your first review, you're at level one, right? You get access to their monthly newsletter. You can stay up to date with their latest benefits and features and blah, 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 blah. Nobody cares about that. But once you've written just five reviews, right, then you'll get invited to join Hangouts with some different tastemakers and connoisseurs and Googlers worldwide. You'll get to submit your own local guides meetup for promotion, and you'll be eligible to test new Google products and features before the public release. If you are crazy like Nico Martinez and you do 50 reviews, then you'll get highlighted on the Google Map app with the local guides badge. You'll get your own little badge. You get to join an exclusive private Google Plus community. You get to moderate your local Google Plus communities, and you get invited to exclusive events. And if you do 200 high quality reviews throughout your time there, then you're eligible to be featured on their Google Plus and Facebook. Anyway, the point is, it's something that you should definitely check out. It's not a difficult URL, so I'm going to give it to you right now. You just want to go to google.com. Wow, that sounded weird. You want to go to google.com/local/guides. And I think that's all you have to do. So google.com/local/guides, and there will be you'll be presented with a join now button, and you basically just link in, it links it to your Google Plus account, and you just start writing reviews. Like if you have already written reviews for different restaurants and stuff, it will already pull those in for you. So anyway, google.com/local.
I should tell
guides.
Mark about that because he likes to.
Yeah, anyone who likes
write
to
reviews,
yeah.
But he.
And what they're really looking for is like a paragraph. So like if you're searching on Google Maps to find a Mexican restaurant, that's what you want to see, right? Is you just want to see like a small paragraph, like, yeah, this place has decent tacos, but the burritos suck, or you know, you don't. This is what I hate reading on reviews. I'll just tell you this right now. I hate because I read Yelp reviews and Google Plus reviews all the time. Because I move all the damn time, to find restaurants. What I hate are these people that write reviews about their single experience. It's like singular experience right. Reviews piss me off because it's just like they're of no use to me whatsoever. When you say, I ordered and the waitress was rude and she forgot to bring my French fries and I asked 3 times and then blah, blah, blah. It's like that is a single experience thing, right? That has to do with that particular waiter. That doesn't tell me anything about the quality of the food. I'm more interested in what the quality of the food was when it eventually arrived, because you know, bad waiters have a way of leaving and getting fired and whatnot. It's like that is not a constant. You know, what I want to know is what is the general food of that place? What is the general, you know, take of that place? Is, I guess,
Nico Martinez in the chat room says, this place sucks. There are no chairs.
Right, exactly. Or tables.
Or tables.
But no, I thought Nico is a very bloggy kind of person. You know, Joe Batance goes to a lot of restaurants. And of course, Nico posts pictures from restaurants all the time. Anyway, I just thought that it was definitely something that they would like. All right, there we go.
I go to a different Food Network chef restaurant and or chain restaurant every week.
Right.
I could.
All right. Now I.
The moment everyone has been waiting for.
Nobody has been waiting for this. I don't even know why I teased it. It is just people are just going to, after I'm done saying what I'm saying, people are going to go like, wow, that was really aggressively passive. Just because it's really kind of, here's what I wanted to say. As a suit of Fried 48, and for those of you who may not, who may be new to the show, I am one of the people who helps run Pride48.com, along with my co-host Adam. Yeah, you and I are actually the founders of Pride48.com. We do it with another group, but you know, with a group of people that help us run these things, and we do this great big wide, you know, this worldwide community of gay podcast and live streaming that we do, and it's a free resource for all of the LGBT community. Blah blah blah.
Millions of participants.
But this is what I wanted to talk about. Is it amazes me. All right, so I'm going to give you two disparate examples here. Number one is QCast Radio. So if you point your browsing device to QCastRadio.com, just the letter Q, castradio.com. This is a website set up by a former, I guess, Pride 48 podcast, or, you know, as far as I'm concerned, it's still a Pride 48 podcast, but it's basically set up by the Pod Cubs because they wanted to control their own content. They wanted to control their own online radio and everything like that. And that's absolutely great. I think it's great. I think it's great that they did it. I think it's great that they have that set up. I would be more than happy. I don't, you know, they never asked for help or whatever, but it's like, had they asked me for help, I'd been more than happy to help them, you know, get their thing set up, because even, you know, we constantly say this all the time and it is absolutely true. We love this medium. Adam and I love this medium. We love podcasts. We love talk radio before that. This is like our passion. This is kind of like our hobby and our passion kind of a thing. And of course, the more voices that are out there, the better it is. And we do have a lot of problems on Pride 48 with scheduling. You know, like there are a lot of primetime spots, you know, where there's a very limited number of primetime spots that more than one person wants to have. So if you can set up another radio station that alleviates that so that people are not competing against, you know, like if I guess they are competing against each other, but the point is that they're not trying to use the same resource for that thing, then I think that's great. Because this I'll address this in a moment. The reality of it is that a very, very tiny percentage of your audience ever listens to your live streaming event. The majority of podcast listeners still download podcast, because one of the huge selling points of a podcast is the ability to time shift, right? The ability to download it and listen to it whenever it is convenient for you to listen to it. So that when you stop your car and go inside a store and come back out of the car, you come back out of the store and get into your car, it picks up exactly where you left off, right? Or if you get to work in the morning and one of your podcasts is talking about something, and then you go to work all day long and you come back in the evening time and you turn it on and you get... You get it exactly where you're at. So in other words, podcast, that is the beauty of podcasts, is it allows you to time shift and to completely own your own radio experience, or your own audio experience, I guess I should say. The second example that I want to give you is Rainbow Radio. So if you go to rainbowradio.fm, this is the...
What language do they speak at QCast Radio? Because when I look at their blog, I see Anian Semper Alciet Libero in Anti Vilit Cursus Ut...
Right. This is part of Lorem Ipsum.
No, I know. Yeah. I know. I'm just being right. lame.
So if you go to rainbowradio.fm, it completely doesn't load because apparently their site is down. So I guess I can't talk about Rainbow Radio right now. I was going to look at their website. I wanted to see if they had changed some wording on it because Rainbow Radio had came in. They're a brand new place that has just came in. And they've recruited some of the podcasts. They've actually gone off and like recruited different podcasts to be on their radio station. And that's my first problem that I have with Rainbow Radio is that they call themselves radio. This isn't radio. This is the internet. There's completely different things here. In the paradigm of radio and in the world of radio, you are broadcasting. You, in the sense that you basically have a huge tower that is sending out a huge broadcast signal to the universe. And there could be a lot of people listening. You don't know who's listening. There could be a lot of people listening, right? Because it's a broadcasting. It's just huge, shooting your content out to a very broad range of people. In the world of internet, you are doing the exact opposite of that. You are narrowcasting for every single person that listens to your show. For every person that listens to your stream, it costs you resources, right? So in the sense of broadcasting, it is exactly as it sounds. I'm going to shoot out my content to a lot of different people. And it doesn't matter whether there's 5 people or 10,000 people listening.
That's what he said.
It doesn't matter. I don't have to change anything. Whether there's 5 people, 10,000 people, 100,000 people listening, it doesn't matter. I'm not changing anything. I'm just shooting radio signals out into the universe and they're being picked up by something else. It does not cost any additional thing. I don't have to do anything different, whether there's 5 or 10,000 or 100,000 people. In the world of internet audio, you have to account for every single resource, right? Bandwidth is a very finite resource here. So what you are doing, we don't have a way to share bandwidth in this kind of way like we do about radio. So what you end up with in internet audio is that you have to pay. The more people that listen, the more that it costs you resource-wise to do this. So Rainbow Radio uses, I guess this is kind of boring. If I haven't already bored you about this, this is even more boring. There's really only 2 different ways to do internet radio. If you're a small guy, you're either going to use Shoutcast or Icecast, and they're both exactly the same. There's tiny differences. The big difference between them is that Shoutcast is proprietary and Icecast is open source. That's really the only difference between the two. And Shoutcast has been open source since Winamp went out of business, but that's unimportant. But for each one of those things, what you're paying for is you're paying for a server that has a certain cap of user. Pride 48 has a cap of 200 users, right? There cannot be more than 200 simultaneous listeners to Pride 48 at any given time because that is all that we're paying for. We've never come close to that. The highest that we've ever gotten is during a Pride 48 event where we've gotten up to 100 or something or so people, but we've never really gone higher than that. Rainbow Radio is licensed to do 250 listeners. The most listeners that they've ever had, if you go and look at their server, is 37. So they've only ever had 37 simultaneous listeners at any given point in time. And the average listening time of those people was 2 minutes and 54 seconds. So a lot of that was people like tuning in for just a minute or two and then tuning out. And that's the other thing, right? In broadcast radio, in broadcast world, you rely on metrics that are kind of fuzzy, right? We think that 10,000 people are listening because, you know, 5 people said so, and we can extrapolate based on population, yada, yada, yada. In the world of internet audio, it is brutally unforgiving in the sense that you know exactly how many people are listening and exactly for how long and exactly to what pieces that they're listening to, right? We have all kind of logs on our internet station here, on our internet servers here that basically tell us exactly, like we know exactly what IP addresses are connected to us and for how long. And you know, if we wanted to dig down into that, we could see exactly what pieces of the day and for what parts of what shows people are listening to, those kind of things. We don't do that because we're not a commercial station and we don't care about that. But that is the level of granularity that they have there. And because they have that level of granularity, it makes selling these things as commercial properties very difficult to do. And so this is the difference now between now that I've gone this long way, right? I'm sorry. The difference between Pride 48 and QCast Radio and RainbowRadio.fm, right? QCast Radio, which is run by PodCubs, and Pride 48 that is run by us, are non-commercial things. We're basically running these things for a hobby. We're running these things to do it. And so it doesn't matter whether there's 30 people listening or 20 people listening or 5 people listening or no one listening. We don't care. We're just doing this for fun. This is what we like to do. Rainbow Radio FM has built itself as a commercial entity. And I'm going to go ahead and tell you this right now, that if they're planning on making money from that, there is no money to be made here. This is 2015. People don't listen to internet radio stations to hear music, right? People have Spotify and what's the one I can't think? Pandora. Spotify and Pandora and Google Play. People craft their own. People that listen to music in their cars or listen to their music on their smartphones and everything craft their own playlists. They don't rely on someone else to make a playlist for them. The other thing is that, you know, then they're replaying podcasts at certain times of the day. Like every Saturday at 10 p.m., they're going to play this podcast, a replay of this podcast. But it's a podcast. Most people are going to download that podcast. Why would I want to go through all the hassle of tuning into a radio station at a particular time, right? This is 2015. We've moved past that. So my point that I'm trying to make here is that we've seen in the past these commercial radio stations that show up, right? These commercial internet audio. I keep saying radio and I really need to stop that. But we see these commercial entities show up all the time and they basically bill themselves as we're going to make money off this and we're going to do advertising and everything. There is no advertising to be had here. There is no additional listener base to be had here. This is all smoke and mirrors. And it's annoying to me only from the standpoint of we've been doing Pride 48 for 6 years, 7 years now. I think this
sounds like 50 years.
It's our seventh year. You and I actually started streaming audio stuff back in 2008, back before we ever did Pride 48. So we've done this for a while. We kind of know what we're talking about here. And I get accused a lot of time of being obsessed with these new things that show up and everything. I'm just checking them out because I'm curious, right? I like this. I want to know if we're not doing something right, then I want to know. Like if somebody else comes up with a great idea, then of course I want to know what it is so that maybe we can incorporate it into our stuff.
We do the research, so you don't have to.
I guess that's the point. But I guess what I'm trying to say is that at this point in time, and I don't mean this in a mean way. I don't mean this in a horrible way. I don't mean this in whatever kind of way, in any kind of malicious way. This is just informational from someone who does this, from someone who has been doing this for a very, for 8 or 9 years now, right? Or 7 or 8 years now, whatever the fucking time is. For a long time, I've been doing this. And I kind of know what I'm talking about. So you can take what I'm going to say with either a grain of salt or you can give it some credence. I don't care. It doesn't matter. But this is what I wanted to say. There is no commercial, there is no viable commercial model for a GLBT internet radio. There just isn't. There is no viable commercial. And if you're being told that there is, and if you're being told that, that this is going to happen or whatever, it's not. It doesn't exist. It doesn't happen. And there's just nothing out there to support it at this point in time. There just isn't, right? The barrier to entry for someone listening to the internet radio station or an internet audio station is much larger than the barrier entry to broadcast. So you have a huge glut of content out there and a very limited pool of people that can actually listen to it. In the same sense, in the reverse of that is broadcast radio, right? Broadcast has a huge barrier to entry to broadcast, but an incredibly trivial barrier to entry for people to listen. Like every vehicle out on the road out there has an FM and AM radio in it that can tune into radio. They're doing so less and less nowadays because people are opting for their own personal audio. But my point is that there is no commercial model out there.
You're dashing the dreams of everyone.
No, but here's the thing. because I get accused of being malicious. It upsets me that people are being tricked into thinking that there is. And that's it. That's my only beef here, is that people are being told that we're going to put you on our radio station and you're going to be, famous, right? You're going to be, but Pride 48 is such a freaking anomaly. I don't know if you guys realize that or not, right? It's such a freaking anomaly. Pride 48 is this huge, great community of people, largely of volunteers. I don't say that because Adam and I founded it, because if it was just Adam and I that founded it, this thing would have died a long time ago. It's the people that listen to Pride 48. It's the people that had the passion to do all these podcasts. It's the people that actively participate in all of our events and everything. That's lightning in a bottle. It's like Pride 48 is an amazing, cool thing in and of itself. Trying to make that commercial or trying to force some kind of commercial model on top of that is just not going to work. It's never going to work. It's not going to work. And it's just, it's sad to me that people are being sold a bill of goods. I'm ranting, but I just, it annoys me when I hear, oh, this person has been doing this. This person has been working with commercial DJs and, knows how to market these things and everything. Bullshit. Bull motherfucking shit. person, you know, there's a completely different set of skills that you need to do an internet streaming audio stuff. And it, I'm telling you, it's just not there. There, I'm done. I'm shut up. I won't talk anymore. And I don't have my thing.
I just want to, and you can hear me sucking on something. Sorry, Joe Batance. So I will say this just to be the yin to your yang. There is no reason that if anyone has a dream that they should not follow that and do everything they can in their power to make that a reality. So if your dream is to be, you know, a world famous radio host or a podcaster that does make a living, then you should by all means do everything you can to try to make that happen. I think you, Daniel, are just irritated because you feel like people are presenting.
I'm irritated. No. Here's the thing.
Goods.
Here's the thing. I didn't make this clear. I should make this clear. I don't fault anyone. It doesn't bother me that people are going over to Rainbow Radio, to, you know, putting their podcast on there. It doesn't bother me. I don't care. That's fine. That doesn't bother me at all. What bothers me is the bill of goods that's trying to be sold to people that I consider to be, the people that I like. They're people that I consider to be acquaintances and friends that I like, right? I mean, I don't want to see people get in bed with people that are questionable. That's all. That's all I'm trying to say. And it's really, that's all there is to it. It's just like, it's such a used car salesman kind of a pitch. I don't care. I mean, if people want to, and I've said this before, right? If you want to set up your own streaming radio, I'll help you do it. It's really cheap and easy to do. I mean, it's like the servers that Pride 48 use cost $10 a month. It's like, it is absolutely cheap and easy to do your own streaming radio station. It's just, or your own streaming audio. I got to quit saying radio because that's the biggest fucking thing.
Okay. And another reason people might do that is because we're all looking for ways to get new listeners. So a lot of people will put their show on multiple different services or whatever you want to call these different things in the hopes that there are new fresh listeners who may not have come to Pride 40 or anywhere else. You know, they're used to, I don't know if Rainbow Pod Squad's still out there, but I mean, there were multiple other quote unquote.
No, I agree.
Networks.
But here's the thing. If you want to get new listeners, if you want to promote, yourself to get new listeners, I'm sorry to tell you that the only way to do it is to promote other podcasts. It's like the only other way to do this is to get, because there is no place out there that you can just throw yourself and just suddenly magically get, you know, podcast listeners. The people come to podcast either through the iTunes directory because they're looking for other podcasts, and that happens less and less and less. But,
or put the word sex in the title.
Most people find podcasts because they're either told about it by a friend that's listening to a show or someone comes on another show. Like, we get an uptick in listeners if we go and do a guest spot on another show, because then people become aware of us. And that's really all. It's like, by promoting each other, we promote the entire, like a lifting tide, a rising tide lifts all boats. That's the kind of thing. It's like, you can't, we're not in competition with each other. We are in the same boat. So if you really want to expand your listenership, if you want to expand the number of people listening to you, then there's really, other than, you know, improving your content, the second and most important thing to do is to network with other podcasts, right? Is to like cross promote and network with other podcasts. That's really all there is to it. No, there's no magical, you know, like a commercial radio station or something that you're going to be able to get on that's going to have any effect to that whatsoever.
Okay.
I'm sorry. Are we done?
I don't know. Are you? So maybe, do we have time for the tech segment this week, or should we save those little golden nuggets for next week?
Buy it, use it, break it, fix it, trash it, change it, mail, upgrade it, charge it, point it, zoom it, press it, snap it, work it, quick erase it, write it, cut it, paste it, save it, load it, check it, quick rewrite it, plug it, play it, burn it, rip it, crack it,
DI Plus technology segment. Actually, we can save one of them. I just wanted to, because the other one expires next weekend, so we have to kind of talk about that right now. If you own
and in this technology segment, we're going to tell you how to set up your own streaming.
Then we're going to tell you exactly how to set up your own streaming set. Yeah,
here are the steps. Get a notepad.
I'm sorry. You know what? Whatever. Maybe I'm just an asshole. Whatever. But I do care about this stuff. That's all.
I didn't say you were.
No. But I'm just saying. I mean, I just, you know,
although Joe Batant said he wanted to go shoot a celebrity, so that the death phone could ring. I thought it was funny.
I would have thought that was funny too. I didn't see it. Anyway, if you own a Chromecast, there is a, through Valentine's Day, there is a thing that you can do. And let me find the exact link for you right now. Basically, you can get a $6 credit in the Google Play Store for each Chromecast that you own. By basically, let me find the link here. So basically what you need to do is you need to have your Chromecast installed and running. And then you go over to the Chromecast offers page, which is another one of these URLs, but it's fairly easy for you to do. It's cast.google.com. So cast.google.com/Chromecast/offers. Go to that page. And if you are using a computer from the same network on which you have your Chromecast already set up, it will detect it and it will automatically credit you for $6 for every Chromecast that you have. So like some people have like two or three, so that would get you, $8 to $12 or $18. But at $6, basically it's for you to buy a Valentine's Day movie, but you can use that $6 for anything in the Google Play Store. So if you own a Google Chromecast, then make sure that you go and claim your $6 credit before Valentine's Day, which is on Saturday. So there you go.
So I went there, and it makes me check this box that says I agree to share my Chromecast device ID.
Yeah, because they're going to look on your network to make sure that, because they'll only give the $6 for each ID. So in other words, you can't take your Chromecast stick and go put it on another network and then log into that, on somebody else's Google account and whatever. So it's just,
I must not have my Chromecast plugged in.
Well, there you
anywhere.
Go.
I don't know.
There you go. Then you need to
it
make
says
sure
it can't find it.
Yeah, make sure your Chromecast is, and make sure you're on the exact same network as your Chromecast. So, but yes,
I know it's around here somewhere. I don't even know which TV I have it plugged
in. Anyway, you'll get $6 for each one of those. So that is your throw. And we have a tech question that came in from Kathy Bacon, but we will save that until next week. So there you go. That is our advice on the old tech segment there on DI Plus.
Buy it, use it, break it, fix it, trash it, change it, mail, upgrade it, charge it, point it, zoom it, press it, snap it, work it, quick erase it, write it, get it, paste it, save it, load it, check it.
Oh, I thought I was muted and I went to unmute myself and I was actually not muted. And so I muted myself. All right.
Well, that was fun.
So, I'll be quick.
No, I feel like you don't need to be quick just because I was a long winded, whatever.
Let me tell you something, Daniel. The reason is unclear, but for one Chattanooga couple, a block, even a dozen blocks of cheese was not enough.
Not enough.
So they decided to steal 57 blocks of cheese.
Is that an actual unit of measurement? A block of cheese?
It was probably Velveeta, and a measurement.
Know, like how many blocks of cheese make a pound? I mean, how much is a block of cheese?
Yeah. Well, normally when you say block of cheese, I think Velveeta. And the fact that they stole 57 blocks of cheese leads me to believe it could have been something like that. Cheese product. Mm-hmm. Anyway, Joshua and Erica Caldwell face theft and drug charges after police say they walked out of the store with hundreds of dollars worth of stolen items, including 57 blocks of cheese.
Wait, so 57 blocks of cheese only equate to hundreds of dollars worth of?
I think
what kind of store? What kind of store were they in?
Oh, I didn't want to mention it. It was Walmart.
So you're telling me there's nothing else in a Walmart that's worth more than a block of cheese? If you're going to steal 57 of something and try to sneak out of a fucking Walmart with it, it's like, wouldn't you like go and steal like 57 Chromecasts or 57, I don't even know. I mean, like Roku sticks or 57, think of all the little tiny things that are worth a lot more than a block of cheese. 57 boxes of ammo? I don't know.
Maybe they really like cheese, They were just, or...
57 boxes of fiddle faddle?
They were gonna donate it to charity or something. When police searched their car, they found $300 worth of cheese stuffed beneath the floorboards and even in a diaper bag.
Wait. So how much is $300 worth of cheese? I mean, there's some artisan
evidently
cheese.
57 blocks.
I'm just saying there's some artisan cheese places that, where it's like, oh, this is artisan. It's a Tillamook cheddar that has been aged and it's like $600. I mean, it's like.
Not at Walmart.
Okay, but I'm just saying, I'm highly distressed about their lack of at least give it to me in cubits or something, like 14 cubits of cheese or some kind of measurement. I don't know.
Officers also found 10 bottles of Tide worth $18.
So Tide only cost $1.80 a bottle?
I don't know. Usually Tide's more expensive than that.
I know. That's what I'm saying.
It's like $17 for one bottle. Some clothes and a candle. In all, there were $600 worth of stolen merchandise in the car, along with marijuana.
Well, there you go. So they stole the marijuana from the Walmart.
They were hungry, so that's why they got the 57 blocks of cheese. Although I don't know. I mean, they at least need some crackers to spread the cheese on or something like that.
Well, if the store was in the South. Oh, what a joke. All right, go ahead.
All right. So a college student is hoping to inquire. Oh, I'm sorry. Let me start over. Oh, a college student is hoping to inspire others by eating bugs. A senior at Auburn University has committed himself to a 30-day diet that includes bugs in all of his meals.
Let me ask you this. Is he cute?
If this is a picture of him, he could be semi cute.
Then he's not going to inspire anyone. If YouTube has taught me anything, it's like unless you're cute, you don't inspire anyone.
Do you know the secret to being a YouTube star and making millions of dollars?
Be young and cute.
Be a young twinkie guy for the most part.
Yes.
Swedish helps, I think, as well. Anyway, and being in college, this means mealworms, crickets, and even cockroaches added to take out Chinese and Mexican food and a lot of pizza. So it shows a picture of some cheese dip, some queso here, I think he's got, with mealworms in it. It reminds me of something you'd see like on an episode of Star Trek that had a lot of Klingons.
It does. It looks a lot like gah,
or whatever that is.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not sure. He says, I don't feel like I'm being adventurous. I'm a pretty picky eater. No doubt helping Brantley Rios is the fact that, is the fact that the taste is not much of an issue.
What is he hoping to inspire people to do?
I'm looking here. Crickets, he says, crickets work really well with taco seasoning and lime juice. So that's been working great. He even started his own blog.
So this is all just a publicity thing. This is all just like, how do I do some publicity thing here to like, pump myself up? I'm going to go start my 30daysofbugs.com. Day 9, garlic butter shrimp of the land. What started as a lonely day turned into night of community. Today is Saturday, my designated day of relative introversion. During the week, I try to meet up with as many many people as I can, but I slow down on the weekends. After a wild week, I woke up today knowing that it would be a lonely type of day. I had some chores to do, so I whipped up a quick smoothie and got right to it. I'm getting closer to perfecting my cricket powder smoothie. Oh, God.
I don't know. It doesn't. It does not say why or how he's expecting to inspire people.
I'm on his blog right now, and I'm going to just bet you it will not take me more than 2 clicks to find some kind of Patreon or PayPal thing for me to support his like awareness campaign.
He's talking about bugs being very sustainable, so maybe he's trying to convince people to start eating bugs. I don't know. Anyway, that's it. That's the news for the week. I'm sure there was some political news and all kinds of stuff happening, but
all right. Well, I can't find a Patreon or a PayPal link here, so clearly either he's just stupid or
maybe he just wants to be famous.
That's probably what it is.
You know, guys, rather than going out and joining rainbowradio.fm or QCast Connection or whatever, just eat bugs for 30 days and put up a blog. That's what you should do. That's the advice.
I'm so glad you helped me get to the fiesta today. Do you know why today is such a special fiesta?
Why, Dora?
It's a birthday fiesta. So let's all sing happy birthday in English and Spanish. Ready?
DI Plus birthday segment, the segment of the show where Adam Burns will play me a musical cue from someone whose birthday it is, and I, using only my head brain, will figure out whose birthday it is and then use my mouth words to tell you who it is. And there There we go. Are we ready, Adam Burns, for the first birthday of the evening?
We are, but do you have brains in other parts of your body? Anyway. Here we go.
Is this like Alice Cooper or something?
Are you asking me or are you telling me?
That sounds like Alice Cooper.
Yes, it is. Alice Cooper.
Yes.
Is he the one that like bit the heads off a bat?
No, that was Ozzy. Like that was Ozzy Osbourne.
Oh. Well,
Alice Cooper just wore really bad mascara.
Being the Christian boy that I was always afraid to even listen to any of these bands because I heard of all the demonic things they did in their concerts.
Yeah. And now you look at Ozzy on TV and he's like, oh, Sharon,
throw a ham at the neighbors.
So Alice Cooper is 67 years old.
60. You know what? That is sad. He is actually younger than...
anyone who's 68.
Than Morgan Freeman.
What? Okay, here's our... Happy birthday, Alice Cooper. Here's our next one. Maybe. This is stupid.
This is... it's like, I think something in crazy places.
I got friends in low places.
Right, this is Hank Williams Jr.
It is not.
This is... Hank Williams.
Now, I can tell you, this country musician has recently had a stint in Vegas and is now on tour.
It's Travis Tritt.
No. He was very, very, very popular back in the day, and he quit to raise his children.
Garth Brooks.
Yes, Garth Brooks. And he's coming back now. He's making a comeback in a big way. Garth Brooks.
Mr. Mike in the chat room says Miley Cyrus
is 53. He's 53.
You know, Garth Brooks, a member of PFLAG.
He is. It was a sister was gay or a cousin.
She still is, but yes, sister is gay.
Well, not was. Sorry, that's the reason that he's pro homo. Anyway, here's the next one.
This is. It's Axl Rhodes, but what's the name of that group? Oh, it's Guns N' Roses. Oh shit,
It is Guns N' Roses.
Yeah, it's Guns N' Roses.
And that is an iconoclastic guitar solo.
Sweet Child O' Mine. The band is of course fronted by Axl Rhodes. I'm gonna guess it's Axl Rhodes' birthday.
It is Axl Rose. So Axl Rose, and you know, Slash is now performing without Axl.
Yes.
And
I always thought it would be great if Slash and the Edge did a duet.
I don't know who the Edge is.
He's the guitarist for U2.
Oh, okay. So yeah, Slash, and the only reason I know the name Slash and Axl.
Oh, Slash, the Edge, and Flea. That would be great. That would be great.
That's a drummer for some band,
uh-huh,
right?
Yeah, that'd be great. I think he's a bass player. Yeah.
The reason I know the name Slash and Axl is because when I was growing up, my brother had two pit bulls.
I thought you was going to say he had two tires on his car and they were held together with an axle.
No. He had two pit bulls, their names were Slash and Axl.
Oh, this would have been so better. It was so much better. It's my dog Guns, my other dog Roses.
Yeah, no, it was Slash and Axl, and they were actually very sweet dogs.
I am batting 100 or 1,000 or whatever they call it.
You are. Yeah. You must have like looked. You must have.
I did not. I did not look.
What celebrities had
look.
Birthdays?
I did not look.
All right, you're.
By the way, friend of the show Gooch Charles was highly impressed that I figured out the Donna Reed theme last time. Anyway, go ahead.
Oh,
go ahead. Or two shows ago. All right,
I had played it like three different.
No,
episodes
but I watched
in
Nick.
A row
I love. We talked about Jeff on. Yeah. Anyway, it doesn't matter. Go ahead.
Jeff, Mary, clean your rooms. Okay. Here we go.
This is the theme to Boston Legal.
It is not William Shatner. Every time I play this, you think it's William Shatner. It is not William
Denny
Shatner's
Crane.
Birthday.
Denny Crane. I got one thing to say, Adam. Denny Crane.
Yep.
Denny Crane. All right, so it is not William Shatner. Is it a male or a female?
It is a male.
Is a male. So I'm going to go with Blacklist Man himself, James Spader.
Yeah, and you know, he's just really ugly now. He was kind of cute when he started on Boston Legal. Uh-huh. And when his first appearance kind of in that legal, well, I can't say this for sure, but the first mm-hmm. time that I knew about him was when he was on Private Practice.
Right.
No.
No, The Practice.
The Practice. Yes. Sorry. The Practice, right? Yeah. Is that what it's called?
Yes, it's called The Practice.
Yeah, The Practice. And then he, I think The Practice spun off to Boston Legal, or they started around, like Boston Legal started around the time that The Practice ended. Mm-hmm. I don't know if there was any relation.
I just love the way
two.
You say The Practice. Mm-hmm.
The right, Practice.
No, name a movie from the 80s that James Spader was in.
I have no idea. Was he Ferris Bueller?
No.
I don't know. I was barely a wee little lad in the 80s.
I'll tell you right, Pretty in Pink. Pretty in Pink. I would have accepted Pretty in Pink or that's pretty much Mannequin. I would have either one of those for the 80s. But now
again,
name,
movie theme songs.
No, but name a movie in the 90s that James Spader was in.
No clue.
Stargate.
I don't know any movie.
Stargate. He was Dr. Daniel Jackson.
Oh, I haven't seen Stargate.
Wow. All right.
Sorry. Anyway, so yeah, James Spader, who has made a turn for the worse as far as in the
looks department.
All
right, hold on. Foul on the play. I am being told that Andrew McCarthy was in Mannequin, not James Spader. And I would just like to point out that both of them were in. Yes, Andrew McCarthy was the lead character in Mannequin, but James Spader was in the movie. Here we go. Thank you. Sincerely, Daniel Brewer.
When you say mannequin, I just think of that Nickelodeon show that I used to watch that had the mannequin that would come to life at night.
Uh-huh. Well, that was what this was basically. This
and
was
there
the
was
movie
the mouse
that
puppet.
Yeah, this was the movie that was. There was a Meshach Taylor played Hollywood, and then Kim Cattrall was the mannequin that came to life. James Spader, by the way, was the evil manager guy. Hmm.
Now we've talked about this one before. I don't think the movie was based on the Nickelodeon show thing.
No, but I'm saying the Nickelodeon show was probably.
They were in this retail establishment.
It doesn't matter. Move on. It doesn't matter.
There was a mouse.
It's called Night in a Museum. It had what's
it was a puppet.
I love puppets.
A mouse puppet. Loved that show.
Big Fat.
I don't remember the name of it, but anyway. All right, he's 55 and his looks have taken a turn for the worse. All right, so here's our last birthday that I'm going to play you a song for.
This is the Darth Vader theme from Star Wars. Wait, now you just skipped ahead.
Yep.
I don't know this theme. I mean, it's from Star Wars, but I don't know the piece of the
No,
movie.
It's not. Here, I'll... You'll get it in a second. Hold on.
I'm hearing a very low... This Jaws? All right, so this is Jaws. All right, so
yes.
It's Star Wars and Star Wars again and then Jaws.
Actually, that was Jaws as well, but yeah, Star Wars and Jaws. Well,
all right, then I'm going to go with Steven Spielberg.
No, but that's a good guess.
Oh. Who was in Star Wars and in Jaws?
Every time I play some music relating to this person, you try to guess this person. And the one time it is this person,
is it John Williams?
It is.
Oh, it's John Williams. Excellent. The composer of... you should have played Indiana Jones and I would have gotten it. Oh, no, but then I would have said Harrison Ford. All right, got it.
Wow, you don't... Hold on, let me just back it up. Here's another one.
I got nothing.
Jurassic Park.
No, that's not Jurassic Park. That's like maybe a really stupid part of Jurassic Park.
Yeah, it
that's
is.
That's not the he did the theme to E.T., to Jurassic Park, to like everything. Indiana Jones.
Yeah. So his songs are some of the most fun to play as a trumpet player. Uh-huh. He really uses lots of brass. Probably a trombone, tuba, anything. But if you're a brass player, you enjoy playing John Williams music. Some other composer that did all the Star Trek stuff. Jerry Goldsmith or whatever his name is. Anyway, John Williams is 83 years old.
Excellent.
Yep.
I can't believe that I was just... Oh, never mind.
You can't believe what?
RT Cruiser in the chat room says, what the hell did Steven Spielberg have to do with Star Wars? Hand in your geek card.
He was the...
Seriously? Seriously? You're asking me this question? Seriously?
He was the whatever, the director, whatever he does. Producer, director, special effects person. I don't know. He's done all kinds of stuff. I don't know specifically what he did, but
he was a guest director for Star Wars Revenge of the Sith.
Oh, okay. Jerry Goldsmith, also very fun for brass players. Anyway, happy birthday, John Williams.
Excellent. Happy birthday, John. We have no Pride 48 birthdays this week. But if you would like your birthday, if you're a member of the Pride 48 community and you did have a birthday and you're like, hey, it was my birthday, why didn't you say what it was? That's because you haven't gone to Pride48.com, signed up for a Pride 48 account, which is free, by the way, and then checked off on the little thing that says, yes, I would like to list my birthday on the front page. Excellent. It is the contact segment of DI Plus.
I think you can read the email, and I may have a voicemail.
You're going to play a voicemail that came in from Mr. Joe Batanz to your personal
voicemail. If I can find
voicemail.
It, yeah.
Now we can't find it. This email comes to us from Moose P, who, by the way, thanks to Moose P for doing the opening of the show today, the last time on Dubious Intent Plus. However, if you would like to, we would prefer previously on Dubious Intent, but that's all right. We'll take last time also. But if you would like to show up on the opening of our show, if you would like to give us one of those, we would be happy to accept it. So just send us a recording of yourself saying previously on DI Plus. Or previously on Dubious Intent Plus. Whatever, however you want to do it. Just make sure that you record it on your phone, either using a recording program or on your computer. Don't give a phone call because we won't play those. But just send us and then we will play you on the beginning of the show. It's just that damn easy. Anyway, Muse P writes, Muse P. He's apparently Norwegian now.
Yeah.
Muse P writes, listen to the podcast and Adam had a question about tipping. I get takeout often from a sit-down restaurant similar to what y'all were talking about. The food is given to me in check processed by a regular waiter who is getting about $2 an hour. My bill is usually about $20 to $25. I generally tip $5. By the way, for those of you keeping track, that's about 20%. Actually, it's more than 20% on $20. But anyway, it's somewhere between 20 and 25% is what he's tipping.
Well, you know,
However, I
took that to mean his standard tip for takeout is $5. So I've started doing that already.
However, he says, I wish restaurants would just raise the salaries of the wait staff and raise the food prices.
Amen.
Because tips raise the cost of a meal. It's nuts to expect people to live on $2 an hour. All right. Now, I will give you that. I agree with that. Yes, that is insane. I used to work at a bar and I know, you know, when you're charging $6.75 for a beer that you could basically buy an entire six pack for that, for $6.75 at a store, but you're charging $6.75 for a single beer and then people tip you on top of that. It does. It's crazy, right? Because the majority of that money, the majority of that profit is going, you know, somewhere. I don't know where the fuck it's going, but
although
it's not going to the people that are working there.
And we say that, but I think a lot of waiters, waitresses, and bartenders might not want restaurants to raise their pay because I think they make more on tips generally if it is a popular restaurant and/or/bar.
Oh, hell yeah. No, I worked as a bartender.
Had they made minimum wage.
I worked as a bartender in a gay club in Tampa for the first few years I was going to college. And yeah, no, I would regularly bring home like $400 and $500 a night from bartending, which is more than I could have made anywhere else for that little work. I mean, I was basically working 4 hours. So I'd come into work at 10 a.m. and I would leave work at 2 a.m. and, you know, basically with $400 or $500 all in ones, but still, you know, $400 or $500 in my pocket.
Were you wearing a thong while you were?
No, it's just working at a gay club, right? A busy gay club. Gay people tip really well. But the point is that, you know, you can work for 4 hours, 3 days a week and make, you know, a decent living while you're going to college. And so that was, you know, that was something that was important. I mean, not important, but it was something that was very good. But, what was I going to say? I was going to forget what the fuck I was going to say. Here's the thing. I go back and forth on this because let's get back to this takeout thing that Moose P is talking about. And by the way, thank you, Moose P, for the email. I will never tip them $5. I will never tip them 20 or 25%. It's just not going to happen because the amount, I don't care even if they do get paid the $2 an hour, right? I'm not taking up a table in their section. So
that's true.
It's like they have so much more volume than a regular waiter. It's like you might have gotten me if you said, "Well, I tip them 5%, or I tip them like two, you know, somewhere between 2% and 5%. I'll tip them, whatever." But I would never, because think about it, right? If you're sitting in a restaurant eating, you wait, you take your, you know, they come and take your order, and they come and get your drinks, and then you get your food and everything. There can be 10 or 20 people that come through the takeout area during the time that you're sitting there. Right. So you're basically like now everyone's going to want to work takeout. Then you'll have no good waiters working for the actual store. So anyway. But I do agree. We should pay our people a living wage. God damn it. And I hate these stupid right wing people that get into this whole thing. It's like, well, if we pay McDonald's employees $1 more an hour, then we will have to like raise the price of the Big Macs.
Okay.
But do you realize how asinine that statement is, right? It's like, let's say that there's 50 employees in a McDonald's, which there are not. There's nowhere near 50 employees at any one given time. But let's say we give each one of the 50 employees in that restaurant a $2 an hour raise, right? So now we're going to pay an extra $100 an hour for them being there. And let's say that they're going to work there for 8 hours, which they never schedule them for 8 hours because they don't want to pay them benefits. But let's just say for a fact that we're in that magical McDonald's where they're all scheduled to work. All 50 employees are scheduled to work for 8 hours a day, making an extra $100 an hour for those 50 people. So an extra $2 each, an extra $100 an hour. So $800 for the 8 hour thing. I would need to raise the price of my Big Macs and other burgers by about 2 cents in order to cover the cost of that. Because I am selling a whole fuckload more hamburgers and fries than I am employees in the place within the space of an hour. So,
Yep. All right. So here's the voicemail from Joe Batanz.
I am ready now to hear the voicemail from Joe Batanz.
You shouldn't repeat bits like that.
I can't hear. I can't hear it.
Hold on. Come on. Dang it. Let me turn the volume up. Let me try again.
I am so excited. Episode of Dubious Intent Plus. It's for the first time in a long time, I'm going to be able to sit back down there and listen to your show, and I'm going to have myself a good old time. I can't wait to hear Daniel. Then you guys are going to talk about your personal stories. You got to do the news, and then there's your tech segment and birthdays, and Daniel sings along, and you guys, you know, he's so angry when he's singing along, and then he doesn't know anybody's birthday is. And then you do that 3-2-1 contact segment. I am so excited for tonight. I can't wait. You see me in the chat room today at 7. See you later.
Sorry it was so quiet. I guess that was just his phone call. I had every single volume jacked up.
What was that being played on? Some kind of cassette recorder or something?
My phone.
Does your phone not have an earphone jack? Does your phone not have a headphone jack that you can run it through your mixer? That was run through your mixer because it literally sounded like you were holding it up to a microphone.
No, that was run through. That's how quiet it was. He must have been talking. The phone must have been like 3 feet away. Basically, he says there was no other volume for me to turn up. I apologize.
Sorry.
He said that he was excited to listen to our show, and that was the first Tuesday night that we didn't do it live on Tuesday. So there you go.
So what you're?
Thank you for your call, Joe Batanz.
Thank you for your call, Joe Batanz. As are all the calls and the things that we've gotten.
3, 2, 1.
And miraculously, with no death phone calls this week and no voicemails other than Joe Batant's calling my personal phone number.
Yes.
This is probably the longest Dubious Intent Plus we've ever had.
Well, yeah, because I like sat there and rambled on for I'm going to cut that whole section out.
No, you're not going to cut that. You said it. You can't cut it out now.
I'm going to cut it out because I wasn't making. I don't think I made a point. I don't think I made I don't think I made a point.
We're talking about it, so you can't cut it out, people. If you can fast forward through it, people, if you don't want to listen to it. Of course,
well, now by this point,
you already listened to it.
I don't think the other things that I wanted to talk about, I just didn't talk about, and I need to have those written down so I can be more coherent with it. Here's the thing, is that although Pride 48 is this wonderful, great community, there are some people inside this community that like to like tell other people what they should do. And that to me is abhorrent. Like, you should never tell another person what they should do content wise. It's like their show is their show. If you don't like it, then don't fucking listen. But you know, it's not your place to tell people that you shouldn't do that or you shouldn't say this. It's like, whatever. It's like the beauty of Pride 48 is that we have all different kinds of voices that say all different kinds of things. And you don't have to like all of them and you don't have to listen to all of them. But we all like have a common goal. Like, we all do LGBT podcasting and LGBT friendly podcasting. Like, we are this, that is what ties us together, is the fact that we are doing this thing. And just like the LGBT community, there's a wide range of ideas and views and feelings inside that community. And how fucking arrogant do you have to be to tell somebody else what they should and shouldn't say on their show? It's like, don't listen. There's a solution. Don't fucking listen. You don't get to tell other people what to do. Because what happens is that then I hear from people that will say, oh yeah, man, I got like somebody like really like came down on me for saying that I shouldn't have done, and now I'm not going to do this anymore. It's like, you know what? If it's something that you like doing, then fucking do it. If you get an email from somebody telling you not to do something, your reply email back to is like, then don't fucking listen. That should just be your standard reply email back to them. Then don't fucking listen.
Well, yeah, I mean, I've always heard even the more successful podcasters will say you cannot do your show for you can't change your show for listeners because you have to do the show that you like, that you want to do, because if you just try to pander to everyone, you'll be there's so many people listening, you could never please
everyone.
Here's the thing.
In the same way that your bank will tell you, like, no one from the bank will ever call you and ask you for your account number or password or whatever. It's like, no official person from Pride 48 will ever tell you what you should do in your show. This is great. You will not be kicked off of the Pride 48 live streaming. The only thing that we ask is you don't play an entire show of copyrighted music. And even that's kind of wobbly, right? We just don't want people to play music shows because we can be held legally accountable for that. I mean, if you have bits of copyrighted music in your show, that's fine. But my point is, it's like, we will never tell you what to do. And I even said last week, it's like, I don't even have to agree with you. I will still give you the air, you know, I will still help you do your show in whatever way that I can. And that's how it should be.
You know, you said before, we've been doing this for over 6 years, and most of these people have been streaming and been, you know, whatever, with us for a long time. So at this point, if a show doesn't know that, they're tardy to the party.
DI Plus is written, recorded, and distributed under Creative Commons. Give us a call on a voicemail line. 2x2 DI Plus. That is 229-234-7587. Or send us an email. contact@dubiousintent.com. Oh, RT Cruiser in the chat room wants to know, what if you call someone a cunt? That's fine.
Yeah. Well, we can't condone or condemn that.
Yeah, but that's the thing. You don't have to agree with it and everything, but I'm not going to keep somebody from doing it, right? I mean, it's like,
do what you want.
Hey, do what you want, man.
Isn't that a song? Do what you want.
Just as long as it's LGBT friendly, and, you know, I'm not going to let, like, you know, some skinhead come on here and talk about, like, the evils of homosexuality. Actually, I probably would, because I would find it funny. It doesn't matter anyway. All right. Next weekend's Valentine's Day, but we don't have an awards show to compete with, so good night, Chet.
Good night, David.